The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and careers. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Dorch on Fed Access. We thank you for stopping by the show. You know, today we're going to be talking about what's going on with the presidency. Not necessarily President Obama, but talking about the future presidency. We've got two candidates who seem to be headed to the nomination. There could be a possible President Trump or there could be a possible President Clinton. And today we want to kind of find out what would be the impact by one of their presidencies. Will they change the federal government dramatically? If a President Trump came, will he honor what he's saying, building the wall? Will he do certain things with federal employees? Will he cut government down? What will happen if we did have these situations of one of these candidates coming forward in 2017? We're going to be talking to somebody who's been covering these issues, Eric Katz. He's a staff reporter at Government Executive Magazine. You can find him at govexec.com. And Eric, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Hey, you've been writing about this and been looking at it. First, Eric, before I even kind of go into the candidates, what's, you know, your sense? You've been talking to federal employees. What are you sensing that federal employees are feeling right now about this election cycle? I mean, do you feel anxiety? Do you hear certain comments that people are kind of they're not liking the candidates or they do like the candidates? What are you sensing right now?
You know, they don't seem overly thrilled with the candidates. None of them, I don't think, we've actually done some polling on this, and none of them have very high favorability. I think all of them are underwater in that sense, higher unfavorables than favorable ratings. On the Democratic side, I think there's a strong contingent of folks who, in the federal workforce, that say that they would rather see President Obama have a third term if that were constitutional than choose from any of their options. And yeah, there's definitely a bit of anxiety about what the field is offering right now. One in four federal employees have told us that if Donald Trump becomes president, they would consider quitting their jobs or retiring because they don't want to work in that administration.
Wow. You know, as we begin looking at the dynamics of this upcoming election and as you just mentioned, the anxiety that's there, are the federal employees, and you just kind of mentioned about Trump, so are you sensing that people are favoring maybe a Hillary Clinton or as president and thinking that she may keep the consistency of at least they know what they're getting because, you know, maybe she'll keep what Obama has instituted and kind of go with that mindset, or she's already been in the federal government, State Department. Are people sensing that more, that they want a Hillary Clinton more than a Trump?
Well, we haven't done a lot of testing on head-to-head yet, but it does seem like she would have a bit of an advantage there. You know, she, like you said, she does have experience managing a large federal agency. You know, people are skeptical about the way that Donald Trump might manage the federal workforce and federal agencies. So there's seems to be a slight preference there. I think the federal workforce skews slightly Democratic overall, but not, you know, overwhelmingly. So I think people are maybe still making their minds up. We'll have to see.
Sure. You know, you wrote an article about how Trump would manage the federal government, and I want to kind of even go into that. You know, when you were looking at that kind of dynamic and kind of looking at what Trump has been saying, how would he manage the federal government? Are there areas that he's talked about cutting? Are there areas he talked about increasing? What's his take on this?
You would think that most of the candidates on the Republican side have talked about ways to cut federal government, federal employees, and you know, get bureaucrats off the backs of the American public is, you know, sort of their rhetoric. But in some instances, Trump has actually talked about ways he would boost the federal workforce. You know, he obviously has his very well-known plan to build a wall and to crack down on undocumented immigrants. So he's talked about adding thousands of new employees that would work in Customs and Border Protection as part of Homeland Security to help secure the border and deport anyone who is not legally documented to be here. And in a couple other instances, he's talked about a central role that some federal agencies play, and that he would use good management in order to implement some of the policies that have been particularly controversial. He's been asked, how are you going to implement this? And he says, well, it starts with having great people, and he thinks that he knows the people that can help lead those efforts.
And are federal workers really kind of concerned that he's being serious about this whole dynamic of we're going to build the wall? Because it would require more ICE agents. It would require more Customs and Border Protection agents and officers, on these certain areas. It would require, maybe a dynamic of a federal workforce or a construction dynamic in which you now have a whole new institution of a wall that's, at a certain border area. Are federal workers saying, hey, this is going to be good for us, or this is going to be bad for us, or what's your take on that?
I think the general sense is that it would not be good for them.
I mean,
the employees seem nervous, apprehensive about a Trump administration. Like I said earlier, a solid 25% said they would at least consider not just quitting their jobs or retiring, leaving the federal service altogether if he were president. So I think that sort of gives you a sense of how a lot of federal employees are looking at this. Some of them would definitely benefit. There's, like you said, at ICE in particular, a lot of new employees would be coming in. But Trump is someone who's, I've spoken to a Trump biographer, and he said that, Trump, he's not going to be afraid to dismiss to fire someone that he thinks isn't doing a good job. He has certain loyalties of people he keeps close to him, but aside from that, he's can be very volatile, and he's not likely to get down in the weeds, because that's not the sort of management style that he has. He could at the top levels definitely be quick to dismiss people.
As you kind of mentioned that and kind of the dynamic of kind of personnel changes, especially for a person who's kind of coming in, and we've, a lot of people know about his show on NBC, where he would fire, you're fired, and all this other kind of stuff. With that kind of management style, would he run into a lot of, you can do that with political appointees, but, is there a concern that he may try to change OPM rules? A lot of federal employees just cannot be fired like that, right? They've got the merit system protections and everything else. Are there concerns that there may be upheaval in personnel issues?
That's a really interesting question, and something that I've considered, and something that has been floating around Capitol Hill for a while now. The Republicans, since they took over Congress, or they took over the House in 2010, they have been talking about changing the civil service protections that you've talked about for federal employees, sort of limiting the due process that those employees currently enjoy. And it's something that Trump could definitely take a look at. What I've reported, however, is that Trump will most likely be focusing on the top-level people when, like you said, the political appointees. He's someone that never apologizes personally, so he could be quick to blame someone else and get rid of them. But in his experience in managing his own company, according to some people that I've spoken to who have been connected with Trump for a while, he doesn't actually like to rock the boat. So they're not. They said that they don't expect him to come in and immediately try to upend those protections that have been in place for decades. That, he's someone who's been around for a while and doesn't want to mess around with those kinds of established rules.
We're talking about what's going to happen with the presidency going into 2017. We're talking about what's the impact of a possible President Trump, what's the impact of a possible President Clinton, and how will it impact federal employees if one of these two candidates becomes the president of the United States. We're talking to Eric Katz. He's from Government Executive Magazine. He's a staff reporter. He's been covering these issues. We're going to continue discussing this when we come back. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the presidency and not necessarily talking about this current administration, but talking about the future administration. Who will be president? Are we going to have a President Trump or are we going to have a President Clinton? And really the question is, how will that impact the federal government? How will that impact federal employees? We're getting a taste of that right now by somebody who's been covering these issues. We're talking to Eric Katz. He's a staff reporter at Government Executive Magazine. You can find him at govexec.com. And if you just type in Eric Katz, you can find a number of his different articles. He's been covering a lot of different issues about federal employees, about what's going on, about budget cuts, about the dynamics of federal pay, about all the different issues that would deal with personnel issues with federal employees. He's been on top of those issues right now, but he's been especially covering some stuff that's dealing with the presidents. He had an article that focused in on what if Trump became president? How would he manage the federal government going from there? Eric, you know, we were talking about the dynamics of, you know, the personnel issues and how the Republicans had talked about kind of changing some things from OPM and taking away some of the protections, and how Trump would probably focus in on looking at political appointees rather than necessarily going down into the weeds and getting into federal government. You know, you had an interesting thing in your article that talked about how Trump is also in dispute with some of the, like, the Federal Labor Relations Board and things like that because of his current business dealings. What did you find with all of that? Because that's an interesting dynamic. I think this may be, if we did have a President Trump, this may be one of the first presidents who has such a large amount of business dealings that deal with federal issues and maybe dealing with labor issues and everything like that. What were you finding with that?
He has dealt with unions for his entire career, and I think that it's something he would have to confront, you know, immediately upon entering the presidency, because a lot of the federal workforce is unionized. They don't bargain over the same types of things because obviously their pay and benefits are set by Congress and not up for negotiation. But there are other elements that the federal unions are a part of that he would have to deal with. So, you know, he has sort of a mixed history with dealing with labor groups. He has said in the past that he, you know, he's not an anti-union person. He said most of New York City, where he's built a lot of his real estate empire, is unionized. So he's certainly had dealings with them. And, you know, there's in some instances that has gone smoothly, and he's worked with them. But, you know, he also operates in Las Vegas, and he has one of the only casinos, maybe the only one on the strip there in Las Vegas that doesn't have unionized workforce. A lot of his employees organized last year and voted to form a union, and he challenged the results of that vote, or his company, Trump's company, did challenge the results of that vote, and he lost an initial appeal to the labor board, and now he's challenging that even further in federal court. So that issue is still to be resolved, but it seems that while he has, you know, some history of dealing with labor groups, he is not completely comfortable with the idea. His son, who helps him with the business, has said that he's proud of the fact that his casino in Las Vegas is one of the only ones not to have unionized employees. So that's something that could be an issue going forward. And again, it's something that Republicans up on Capitol Hill have been grappling with for a while, sort of trying to limit the influence of federal employee unions. And even some proposals have come forward to eliminate them entirely.
Wow. You know, as we think about this kind of dynamic, I saw that you, you know, as in covering Trump, you know, Trump has talked about, I'm going to eliminate the Department of Education. I know there has been talk about Common Core. There's been talk about the No Child Left Behind and all these other kind of dynamics. What is his take on Department of Education? Do you think that he would try to dismantle this organization? Is that a serious a threat coming from Trump?
Well, I think you phrased that in a really interesting way. Is that a serious threat? Because I think that this came up in a debate, and he was asked, what would you do to cut waste in government and, you know, help balance the budget? Because some of his proposals are quite costly, and in addition to his tax cut plan. So I think that's sort more falling into the category of just standard Republican rhetoric that you hear just about every candidate has said that they would, you know, when pressed for what they would, how they would cut, it would, they named Department of Education. It's a good talking point for their base. You know, Ted Cruz has said it famously. It was one of Rick Perry's departments that he would eliminate when he forgot his oops moment, when he forgot
where I remember
the
that.
Three were. So, you know, I think it's sort of something that Trump said off the top of his head. I don't think it's necessarily something that he's thought through, just based on the fact that he hasn't put forward a plan with details like some of the other candidates have on how he would, you know, eliminate functions of the federal government. It's certainly possible. Like you mentioned, he is against Common Core, which is often implemented at the state level and not at the federal level. Even if he were to follow through on with that, you know, that's a pretty minuscule part of the federal budget and wouldn't necessarily make a huge impact, although there are several thousand employees at the Department of Education that would certainly be feeling the fallout of that decision.
Exactly. You know, as we look at it, there's also been the threat again, and this may just go with kind of the Republican rhetoric. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Mm-hmm. There's always a discussion about, do we eliminate them? You know, again, is this just part of that rhetoric, or are there, you know, serious stances to say we need to get rid of them and get rid of a lot of the rules and regulations, especially in a time when there's been a heavy debate about the environment, about warming of the environment and about the Arctic and all the other kind of dynamics, you know, with oil and all the other kind of things that sometimes damage the environment. Is that just a talking point? Is that real?
Well, I think that that probably has a little bit of more force behind it if we were to enter into a Republican administration, be it Trump or Cruz or any other candidate, that they would probably, you know, follow through on trying to significantly reduce the size and responsibilities of the EPA, if not eliminate it entirely. But it's something that's happened even under President Obama. Their workforce has shrunk. Their budget has shrunk. It's something that he's compromised on with Republicans in Congress, and that would only amplify under Republican administration. You know, Trump has named it as another one of the areas he would look to cut. They find that the regulations are too burdensome, and of course, they're not completely sold on the science that you just mentioned on the effects that emissions that are having on the environment. So, it's definitely an area that they would try to chip away at.
You know, when we think about this whole kind of piece, and it seems as if Trump has put a lot of, you know, of his energy and kind of going in. And there's two different areas I want to focus in on, Veteran Affairs and then also now Department of Defense. What is his take on that in terms of, and maybe let's hit Veteran Affairs first. What's Trump's take on that? You know, I know he keeps on talking about we're going to make it a better program. We're going to do this, that, and the other. Where is he going with that?
Yeah, he has talked about VA a lot. He says that we treat our vets horribly. It's one of his biggest talking points. He brings up over and over again. And you asked earlier about his show, The Apprentice. Well, on his plan that he's put out a little proposal on how he would reform VA, and he said that he would tell any bureaucrats working at VA that if they're not serving the veterans up to his liking, you're fired. So that's literally there right in his plan. So, you know, maybe in that instance, he would try to finagle the protections for federal employees, specifically at VA. It's something that, again, Congress has been working on. President Obama signed a law in 2014 that made it easier for VA to fire its senior executives. There's legislation in the works now that has passed the House and is in the Senate that would expand that firing authority to the entire VA workforce, which is, you know, over 300,000 individuals. So I think that's definitely something you could see Trump push for, because, you know, he's talked about how he thinks the VA is incredibly mismanaged, and he wants to bring more accountability there. A lot of the Republicans have talked about expanding the choice that VA has already expanded when it signed that law I just mentioned, when President Obama signed that law I just mentioned in 2014,
right,
to give veterans more access to health care outside of the VA system. VA maintains a vast network of hospitals and health care facilities, but more and more we're hearing calls for giving veterans, subsidizing veterans to get health care at private sector health facilities, and that I think that's something that Trump has supported.
We're talking about the candidates for 2017 for the presidency. We're talking about a possible President Trump, and then we're going to also talk about a possible President Clinton as we go further into the show. But we're talking about how will this impact the federal government if one of these candidates, you know, now becomes the president of the United States? What will be the impact on a number of different federal agencies? Is it going to be a positive impact or a negative impact? Are there going to be agencies that are going to be trying to be eliminated? Are there going to be agencies that are going to put in growth mode or expansion? We're talking about this with Eric Katz. He's been covering this for Government Executive Magazine. He's a staff reporter over there, and he's been on top of these issues. When we come back, we're going to continue to discuss this. We're going to the Department of Defense and talk about what Trump is saying about that, and then we'll keep on going from there. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the presidency. We're talking about the dynamics of not necessarily this current administration, but talking about the future administrations in terms of will there be a possible President Trump or will there be a possible President Clinton? And if one of these people become the president, one of them will probably, and unless something happens, that in the trajectory right now is showing us that one of these people have a high possibility of becoming the president. President of the United States, but what will be the impact of their presidency? Will they make a number of different changes to the federal government? What will federal employees now have to experience with one of these people becoming president? We're talking about that right now. We've got Eric Katz on the line with us. He's a staff reporter at Government Executive Magazine. You could Google his name is Eric, and then the last name is K-A-T-Z. You can find his information, but or you can go to gov.ezek.com, and you can find his articles right there. He has a great article on if Trump became president, what would be his management style? And you can find that information. We're discussing it right now. Eric, when it comes to defense, Trump has been talking constantly about, you know, I'm going to make the military strong. I'm going to make it the best military in the world. No one's going to do this. ISIS, we're going to take them on and destroy them. I'm going to put these troops down in this area, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what are we looking at? And we've seen this, you know, with the Bush administration. We've seen, you know, definitely if there's been an impact on the military and Department of Defense and even just increasing agencies. We saw this under the Bush administration after 9/11. Is there a possibility we could see again a significant increase in, you know, Department of Defense, maybe Homeland Security, intelligence, and all the other kind of dynamics under the Trump administration?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he hasn't given a whole lot of detailed proposals, but like you said, he's a strong proponent in ramping up the military. You know, a theme of his campaign is that we don't win anymore, and that he says, you know, with the military will be so strong that your head will spin, and I think is his line. Yeah, he has talked about ramping up the military, boosting our defense, and he's even, you know, started talking about sending a significant contingent of ground forces into Syria to deal with the civil war there. And like you mentioned, when we saw this under this kind of rhetoric under President Bush, the ramping up the military corresponded with a pretty significant increase in the civilian workforce at the Defense Department. There's currently about 750,000, 800,000 civilians at DOD, and the Obama administration has been working to cut that back a little bit since the president has phased out most of our efforts in the two wars going on, that he's also tried to draw back, at least at the headquarters level, the number of civilians. And we could see a complete reversal of that under President Trump. He's talked about, you know, making our military strong as a deterrent factor. And going along with that, I think, is reasonable to suspect that as he boosts the size of our armed forces, that there would be a boost in the civilian contingent as well.
you know, as we begin looking at this whole piece right here, you know, we've seen the budget cuts, like you mentioned about, we've seen a little bit of a drawdown. Are you hearing anything in terms of Department of Defense workers or even military, or have you seen anything in terms of, is there a more favorable rating by military or defense workers towards a Trump because he's saying these things, or are people more favorable towards a Hillary Clinton? Have you seen anything about that or talked to anybody?
Yeah, we've talked to some people. We've done some polling, specifically among Republicans who plan to vote in Republican primaries or caucuses. They have told us, they have shown that, yeah, they do like Trump a little bit more than the federal workforce at large. They among Republicans, they have a pretty strong opinion of him. They see his rhetoric on military issues, and it's resonating with them. So they have shown that to be fans of Mr. Trump. We haven't gotten a lot of feedback so far, and it's something that we plan to do more polling in the future on who they would support between Trump and Clinton in that sort of matchup. But so far, the early indicators are that, at least among Republicans in the military and the Defense Department, that they do have favorable feelings towards Trump.
You know, as we look at kind of spinning towards the direction, I know in your article you mentioned, and we've seen this by a lot of Republicans, a lot of dynamics, we always see that they're very, very negative about federal employees. You know, they almost to the point of making federal employees seem like you don't know what you're doing. The government's messed up. Nothing's going right. And we hear that from Trump all the time. Does that really put a bad taste in a lot of federal employees' mouths, that they always feel like they're being beat up on by politicians in order to get the votes? And then you're going to be now my leader or the person who I've got to deal with in order to, you know, make things work. I mean, what's the take on that? That happens all the time. And I've always wondered, what do federal employees feel about that kind of stuff?
There's absolutely no doubt about it that that's having an impact. The morale in the federal workforce is really at historically low levels, and it's been getting worse and worse every single year. I think this past year in 2015 was actually the first year in that I can remember, maybe since the entire Obama administration, that it actually ticked up a little bit by most indicators. But for years, it's been just completely tanking. And a lot of federal employees point to the rhetoric, you know, previously in Capitol Hill and now in the presidential race, that their federal workforce is constantly scapegoated. The worst among them are highlighted. You hear about the bad apples all the time and how we need to deal with, you know, these people that are doing particularly egregious things. And the federal employee advocates say, sure, there's a 2 million person workforce. There's going to be some bad actors, but that's not representative of, you know, the good work that most federal employees are doing on a day-to-day basis. And it is really taking a toll. There's survey after survey has shown this. The federal employees are hearing this. They hear it every day from, you know, hearings in Congress or in Republican debates, or you know, even sometimes from Democrats. There's this constant disparaging of you know, these nameless, faceless bureaucrats that are holding back American ingenuity somehow. So, and it is affecting their views on the presidential race as well. Like you mentioned, they're worried that someone who has been talking about this and saying that federal employees are to blame and we need to fire, you know, hundreds of thousands of them in order to make government operate more efficiently, it makes them nervous, and it shows that it's, you know, could affect how they vote.
You know, as we look at this and kind of going forward, are we thinking now first, is there going to be a recruitment problem with the federal government? We're already seeing the economy getting a little bit better. And then there's always been a concern about, you know, both the military and the federal workforce now not being able to recruit some of the top talent. Also, too, you mentioned about some people saying, I will leave the federal government if a certain person becomes president. Are we going to lose some of our top talent who may go out to the private sector, the NGO sector, or other places who are now starting to hire a little bit more? Is that something that is a concern amongst, you know, maybe federal aid, not necessarily one of these presidential candidates, but maybe federal agencies who don't want to lose some of their best people?
There definitely is a concern. It's been a concern for a couple of years. And I think it would only amplify if, you know, one of these contenders that has been using this rhetoric becomes president. But yeah, there's we've heard for years about you know, the coming retirement boom in federal workforce. You know, the as baby boomers are reaching retirement age, that and they disproportionately the federal workforce is older and increasingly becoming retirement eligible. So as that wave starts to hit, federal agencies have been talking about and dealing with a recruiting and retention problem. You know, OPM has been working for pretty significantly on boosting recruitment efforts, trying to find new ways to make the government attractive to younger people, making it easier to apply for federal jobs. You know, there's been all these problems with the USA Jobs website where most federal hiring is done. That's where, you know, anyone can go on to apply for a federal job. So they're trying to modernize that, make it more efficient and user-friendly. So that's all part of it, and that could be set back if, you know, if a lot of the public sees a president, or that they think, well, I don't want to work for this person. And I think we've seen that is likely to happen, especially under President Trump.
We're talking about what if Donald Trump becomes president? What will be the impact on the federal government? What if Hillary Clinton becomes president of the United States? What will be the impact on the federal government? We've been discussing that today, and we're going to go more in towards Hillary Clinton as we go into the last segment. But we've been talking about Donald Trump specifically, about what will happen, because he has put out a lot of information about what his stance is on government agencies, what his stance is on possibly eliminating certain government agencies, and then also increasing certain agencies and some of the things they do. We're talking to Eric Katz. He is a staff reporter at Government Executive Magazine. You can find him at govezec.com, govezec.com. He's been covering these issues, and he's been covering a lot of different dynamics in terms of what's going to be the impact of this presidential election on federal employees and the federal government as a whole. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you've just joined us, we've been talking about the presidency. We've been talking about the election of basically going into 2017. Who's going to take the new mantle of the president of the United States in 2017? Is it going to be Donald Trump? Is it going to be Hillary Clinton? And what's going to be the impact of one of these candidates now becoming in charge of the federal government? What do federal employees feel about this? What are the concerns of federal employees? What will be the changes of the federal government if one of these people become the president of the United States? We've been talking to Eric Katz. He's a staff reporter at Government Executive Magazine. You can find him at govezec.com. Eric, let's go into Hillary Clinton. You know, we in this last segment, we've talked about Donald Trump a lot. But if Hillary Clinton, you know, I mean, she's a known to the federal government. She's been in the Obama administration. Of course, she was in the White House as a first lady with Bill Clinton, President Clinton. You know, and what do is the federal government, the unions and everything else, AFGE and everybody else, are they supporting her more to become president?
There definitely seems to be leaning in that direction. Like you said, the unions, AFGE, which is the largest federal employee union, and the National Treasury Employees Union, NTEU, which is an independent union that is very sizable, both have endorsed Hillary Clinton to be president. They see her as someone who would be a strong advocate for the federal workforce, someone who has experience managing federal employees at the State Department, someone who takes seriously their responsibility of managing federal agencies, and has gone out of her way to embrace the role that civil servants play in government and in the American space, because she has talked about how the employees that worked under her at the State Department are brave and strong Americans.
Sure. If she becomes president, what do we see as some of the priorities? I mean, she was at State Department. Do we really see that still becoming a priority for her in terms of the international affairs dynamic because of her experience kind of on that stage? Are there going to be more resources headed towards State Department and diplomacy overseas, more resources headed to U.S. aid and kind of development dynamics? I mean, will we see a possibility that this is going to be a strong emphasis of a possible President Clinton?
I think that there's a good chance that's where her experience lies. I don't know that she's talked specifically about funding at one agency versus another, but I do think that she would make diplomacy a really strong part of her a core part of her presidency, something that she could definitely, double down on investing in that.
As people, that the Benghazi situation really was kind of something that a lot of people jumped on, and that had to do with the military, and it had to end the loss of a life of by some heroic people over in that area. But has that impacted maybe the stance of either people going against her who are more, leaning towards defense issues, or people in Defense Department or more military people? Have you seen any kind of dynamic or polling or heard from people about that kind of take on it in terms of, hey, this situation happened under your watch, and so we don't trust you as much, or we understand what happened and you did everything you could?
Yeah, we haven't done a ton of polling on that specifically for defense. What we have seen is that she does, the trust issues that she has seen throughout the country are persisting, and maybe even higher at among the federal workforce. They're part of what comes with being in the public spotlight for that long is that all these questions get raised, like you said, with Benghazi, and that has taken a toll on her public perception. She has fairly high ratings among the federal workforce relative to the other candidates. She's still not seen that well. She's still below water. She's still, more people see her unfavorably than favorably. Democrats in the federal workforce prefer her slightly to Bernie Sanders, but they see Bernie more positively. They trust him more. And some of these things, I think, have taken a toll, like Benghazi, have taken a toll on her perception over the years.
We got a couple minutes as we swing out. And Eric, I wanted to touch on a couple different articles that you wrote that deal with the federal government as we kind of close up this chapter about dealing with the presidency. But you looked at the Pentagon civilian workforce about hiring reform, and you also looked at the security clearance, this new entity, in terms of people having some concerns that this could be a nightmare. Let me go into the civilian workforce hiring reform. What is going on with that right now?
Well, there's a couple things and initiatives there. First of all, in a broader sense, the Defense Department has acknowledged, Secretary Carter has said, that the civil service system that applies to defense employees is outdated. It doesn't serve them well, and it doesn't help them support the military in the best way that they should. So there's been a lot of looking at how that can change, how that should be reformed, tracing back to the Bush administration. George W. Bush instituted a complete overhaul of the civil service system in place at the Defense Department called NSPS, and that was actually considered to be a pretty massive failure. There was issues with fairness and discrimination, so that whole thing was scrapped pretty early on in the Obama administration. So they're starting to look at new ways to reform that process. Right now they're considering new performance evaluation systems to sort of simplify that process, make it more of an ongoing conversation, and bring more fairness there. And then in Congress, you know, some are looking at ways to make it easier for the Defense Department to hire. Like you said, the Defense Department employs a lot of temporary workers at its bases and installations around the country and around the world. And, you know, some lawmakers have the idea that these employees get stuck in a rut where they just come back to do the same temporary job year after year, and and all the while they're gaining experience and time on the job, so they should have a leg up when applying to full-time positions. So that's one area that is being considered.
Will these reforms go through this year, or what are we looking at, Eric?
Yeah, as far as the performance management, which would change the way that employees are evaluated and they receive bonuses and that sort of thing, that is starting to take place this year. It's scheduled to kick in next month and be slowly phased in to almost the entire workforce of, you know, 700,000, 750,000, 800 over the next couple of years. So they'll be in different stages, you know, a certain sect of employees over time starting in April. So that will definitely go into effect. As far as what's going on in Congress, you know, you never know in this environment, especially. Similar laws have been passed to ease hiring at other agencies, so, you know, that could be a sign of hope for the lawmakers trying to change that process. But it would depend on the priorities in Congress.
Got about 60 seconds, Eric. With this whole security clearance thing, what's going on with that? What are people's concerns?
Well, just quickly, there was a lot of problems, both with the Navy Yard shooting and with Edward Snowden leaking all those documents that were protected. So the administration and Congress has been working on ways to reform the way that security clearances are issued, the way background checks are investigated. And what they've come up with is a new entity that is housed within OPM that would that the National Background Investigations Bureau that will be in charge of all of these investigations. The Defense Department would take over housing all the personnel files, which, as you remember, were hacked in last year. So that's the IT element of that. And of course, there's been some backlash with this announcement saying that, well, if this is a new entity in name only, you're really not going beneath the hood to fix the structural problems here.
We've been talking to Eric Katz, and he's just been giving us a breakdown of what if Hillary Clinton or what if president, or I should say, what if Hillary Clinton becomes president, and what if there is a President Trump? How will that impact the federal government? How will that impact federal employees? What are their thoughts on this? And he's also been giving us a little bit of overlay of the land about some hiring reform and security clearance issues as we close up the show. We've been talking about that. Eric, we're going to have you back because you've just been insightful today about all the different things that you have kind of brought to the table. So we're going to definitely have to have you back on Fed Access to really explain what else is going on as time progresses, especially as we get closer and closer to this dynamic of the election season and everything else. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.